It's a wonderful thing to have a personal relationship with God. And as we just sing that song, He knows our thoughts. He knows every single thing that we're going through. He personally has His hand upon you in your life. That's the God that we serve. This time, our children up through fourth grade may be dismissed for junior church. Over here on my right, your left. You can turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're finally at the end of chapter 7. At 60 verses in this chapter. Acts chapter 7. Starting with verse 54, I'm going to read to the first part of 8:1. So Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Now when they had heard these things, they were enraged. And they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. The implanted and grafted Word of God that's able to save our souls, that's able to transform us into the image of Christ, that feeds us, it nourishes us, it causes us to grow up in Christ. We thank you for the body of Christ, the church. We thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ, that without Him, none of it would be possible. Without Him, we would be hopeless. We would still be in our sin, but Christ took upon human flesh, laid down His life, and died for our sin. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead, and because He is victorious over sin, death, hell, all who trust in Him are victorious as well. Father, as we see the life of Stephen, his dedication to the gospel, his focus on eternal things. May that encourage us, convict us to live our lives for you, not for ourselves. May we live our lives with our hearts and minds focused on eternity as we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who's not accepted Christ as their Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like Stephen, all of us should live our lives daily, daily with eternity in our hearts and on our minds. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, and motivated by love and forgiveness. By doing so, we will then live our lives surrendered to God, and we will live our lives pleasing to the Father. We're not living for ourselves, but we're living for Christ and the gospel. And we don't know how old Stephen was, but the idea is he wasn't a very old man. So maybe he was about my age then. Why would you laugh at that? Stephen, the first Christian martyr, he lived, he spent his life for Christ and the gospel. And we can look back at his life and see there is a life surrendered to God. Some would say it was too short, but in God's eyes, he lived exactly the amount of time God had predestined for him to live. He didn't die early due to foolishness. He died surrendered to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a dramatic, moving passage that we have here. Although he was killed, Stephen definitely was not a victim. He was a victor. What a great picture is he's being stoned to death and he gazes into heaven seeing the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Oh, what a great encouragement for us today knowing that death ushers us immediately into eternity. There's no delay. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we see that in this wonderful passage. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 56. Stephen was not a victim. He was victorious. And he gives us a great example of how we should live our lives. We see in this passage a stark contrast between this murderous mob and Stephen and how they respond. Number one, we see filled with anger versus filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 54. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Spirit. So you have this murderous mob. Stephen, as you recall, he went through Israel's history, showing their stubbornness, showing how they continually rejected the prophets. And then ultimately, those that he was preaching to rejected the prophet, the Son of God, and had him crucified. And when he got to the end of his sermon, he said, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in your hearts, in your ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit." Oh, man, and they just started boiling up with anger. They just became enraged. Why? Because Stephen preached the truth. He preached the gospel. And they continually rejected it. We have at least three times that we've seen up to this point in Acts that they have, as a group, rejected the gospel. And you have this picture here, just like you have today. And you may know of some people that you have shared Christ with several times. For some, as they continue to reject it, their heart becomes harder and harder and harder. There's people that you may also know that you have shared the gospel with, and they're coming to the end of their life. They're on their deathbed, and they have continually rejected the gospel. And some, They're so enraged. That anger. They didn't even want to hear it anymore. There are people like that as they continue to reject the gospel. They become enraged and infuriated. And they just didn't even want to hear the gospel message anymore. Several years ago, I was in a restaurant. And I was talking to this individual. He had a few drinks. And him and I got to talking about different things. And I remember turning the conversation to Christ and the gospel. And I, as I am talking, and he's asking specific questions. And one question that he asked me, he said, "So you're saying," and I'm paraphrasing, "that if I reject the gospel, my eternal destination is hell." I could tell by his face and his words and his body language, he was just boiling up with anger. He was looking for an opportunity to swing at me. He wanted me to say yes. And I had to say true. I said, I try not to necessarily just focus on him, but just the specific truth that anyone who rejects Christ, yes, they die without receiving forgiveness of sin. That's their destination. And he became so angry towards that truth, that gospel message, so much that a worker in the restaurant saw what was happening and was concerned that this person was going to hit me. He did not hit me, thankfully. I thought he might as well. He's just becoming so angry. And I don't remember, we continued to talk and so forth, and he started to calm down a little bit. I would like to say he accepted Christ. At least at that night he didn't. Maybe he has since then. But that comes with the territory of sharing Christ. Some who continually reject, not all, but some who continually reject and their heart becomes harder. They become, and they don't even want to hear it. They're like, they get angry when you even bring up the name of Jesus Christ. And that's due to their rejection. That's exactly what we have here. They heard these things, they were enraged. The NASB says they were cut to the quick. Cut to the quick. The Greek word means to saw in half. The gospel message, the words of Stephen, the gospel message ripped apart the veneer of their false spirituality, their self-righteousness. It cut them to the quick. And instead of repenting and recognizing their sin, they just became more enraged. A lady once came to Billy Sunday and try to rationalize her anger, her outburst. She said to Billy Sunday, "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper," she said. "I blow up and then it's all over." Billy Sunday said, "So does a shotgun, and look at the damage it leaves behind." Well said. That's the type of anger that's going on. It's a murderous mob. This is the highest court in Jewish law. This is the Sanhedrin council responding this way. Rejecting the gospel. They're angry. It says they ground their teeth at him. That's interesting. They ground their teeth at him. You know that Jesus repeatedly described hell as a place of gnashing of teeth? Gnashing of teeth? Matthew 13, verses 41 and 42. "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and" what? "Gnashing of teeth." The suffering of hell we have a picture here, will include endless anger, gnashing of teeth. They remain in their sin. There's no repentance in hell. There's none. This is the opportunity to trust in Christ for forgiveness of sin. They had that opportunity and they refused it. Now, I would like to think that some of this murderous mob, we know Saul did, became Christians. But most likely, most of them today are gnashing their teeth in hell. Then we look at Stephen. So you compare this anger, as we talked about in Sunday school, the anger of man, this unrighteous anger. Look at the difference. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. What was controlling this murderous mob? Anger. Hatred for Christ and the message that Stephen was preaching. How does Stephen respond? Did they get under his skin? Did they cause a sinful reaction in Stephen? Not one bit. Why? He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was controlled by God. God, so many examples of this, of martyrs throughout history. Of God, someone check that. Someone's ringing their doorbell. Of God providing special amount of grace during very difficult times. I mean, every day we live by God's grace. We can be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. But it is a wonderful thing that during difficult times that we know that His grace is sufficient. And during difficult times, He gives us that amount of grace that we need to live for Him. 1 Peter verse 4 and 14. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. That's exactly what we see with the death and life of Stephen. That's why we can agree with Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul, Stephen, so many others and believers today have experienced that. During difficult times, the power of God rests upon us as we are depending upon the sufficiency of His grace. God just ministers to us in amazing ways. So we have filled with anger versus filled with the Spirit. And then we have spiritual blindness versus spiritual sight. Look at verse 55. Full of the Spirit, he gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. So in the midst of this circumstance, instead of having his eyes on the circumstance, where is his gaze? He's gazed up into heaven. I think Stephen knows what's about to happen. And he sees the glory of God and the Son of God
standing at the right hand of the Father. What a great picture of the Trinity. He's full with the Holy Spirit of God. He's being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And then he sees God the Father and God the Son in all their glory. And his eyes are focused on that. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Stephen had his eyes on the prize. He ran his race well, and I can only imagine that Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter to your rest." Now, I want you to use your imagination this morning. I want you to imagine that this extension cord goes on continually with no end. Yeah, technically it ends up in the closet. I get that. So I ask you to use your imagination. This extension cord goes on forever. Has a beginning, but there's no end. And I want you to see this as a timeline of your existence. It just keeps going on. Forever and ever and ever. I want you to see this plug here. This little plug. This represents your life on earth. This plug. Okay? The whole cord is your existence. And it never ends. It goes on forever. Just continues to go on. Most of us are consumed with the plug. I mean, this is our focus, the here and now. And there's different stages in life. Some of us want to live a certain way, so when we get to the end of the plug, we're very comfortable. We got a nice retirement, a nice nest egg that we can do whatever we want with little work. That's the American dream, right? Do as little as possible and be as comfortable and self-indulged as we can. We're so focused on the plug. Every day we're focused on this. And we forget that really life is, it goes on forever. I mean, this is so short compared to eternity. Look at this. We're here one day, we're gone the next. Naked we came in, naked we're going out. But on the other hand, this time period, this is precious. And there's only certain things that we can do in this time period. There's only certain things we can do, like witness to others for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we need to see ourselves that in this time period, this plug, we're investing for eternity for this. But most of us, we're not investing for eternity. We're not thinking about eternity. We're just thinking about this. We're living for ourselves. And then maybe when a difficult situation comes, like did for Stephen, we're not, our hearts and minds aren't focused on eternal things. It's just focused in the here and now. So we make poor decisions. We don't depend upon God's grace. We're not surrendered and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. As a believer in Christ, when the plug is plugged into Christ, you now have the power to live for Him in the gospel. And as He is transforming your life daily, you start having a more eternal perspective that you are investing in this. It's the greatest retirement plan you could ever invest in. because it goes on forever. This is going to end one day. It could be today. It could be today. Or you could live till you're 95. My wife's grandmother shares my son Zachary's birthday. She's exactly 80 years older than Zachary. So November 11th, she'll be 95 years old. Most of us don't live that long. This time period is precious. So make sure you're investing in this. Because all the things that we tend to focus on during this time period, you don't take it with you to eternity. But things that are done for Christ, oh, forever, forever. That is why Stephen handled this situation so well. I see the heavens open. He's focused on heaven. He's already filled with the Holy Spirit of God, so he's prepared to handle this. Because he's controlled by God, and God gave him that enabling grace to deal with this situation to bring God glory. But look at the murderous mob. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Notice that Stephen uses the phrase "Son of Man." That's interesting. And I think that was the last straw for them. It was the same title, some would say the favorite title, that Jesus used of himself, the Son of Man. Listen to Matthew chapter 26, verses 63 and 64. So, he's arrested. Give you the context. Christ is arrested. At first, he's silent. He's not answering them. But then the high priest demanded him to speak. And he says in verse 63, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And this is what Jesus said to him. Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." For that so-called blasphemy of claiming to be the Son of God, the Son of Man, who would sit on God's right hand, they crucified Christ. Same thing here that Stephen is talking about. See, he claimed to be the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah. And now Stephen, he confirms it. He says, "I see the Son of Man, not seated, but standing at the right hand of God." See, several times the scripture says he's seated, showing that the work of redemption is finished. What Christ did on the cross, and that's why he said it is finished on the cross. "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." But here we see him standing. I think it's just a picture of Christ receiving, welcoming Stephen into glory. So I'm sure when Stephen alluded to seeing the Son of Man, that was it. That was the last straw. They cried out after he said that with a loud voice. It's a murderous mob. And they stopped their ears and they rushed together at him. And then verse 58.
They cast him out of the city. They stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Filled with anger versus filled with the Spirit, spiritual blindness versus spiritual sight. Now we see death and life. What a great example in Scripture. What an encouraging example for the believer. That at death, immediately, there's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as soul sleep. Immediately, you are in the presence of God. Immediately. What a great testimony. What a great picture of glory. Notice what Stephen said. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Remember what Christ said on the cross? Luke 23, verse 46. Right before he gave up his last breath, what did he say? "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Very similar to what Stephen said. What's the difference? He doesn't say, "Father." Who does he say? Jesus. So what is Stephen doing? He's saying, "Jesus is God." He's deity. He's God in the flesh that died for the sins of the world, that rose again, ascended into glory, and is seated and standing at the right hand of God. "Jesus, I commit my spirit to you." Wow. I'm sure they didn't like hearing that as well. Listen now what he does. Falling to his knees, verse 60, cried out with a loud voice. He doesn't whisper this. He says it for all to hear. "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." So finally, we see hate versus love. Again, very similar to what Christ prayed. And when he prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." So what Jesus was actually praying for was their future salvation, because there's no forgiveness apart from salvation. And that's exactly what is on Stephen's heart and mind as his executioners are stoning him to death for living for Christ and the gospel. He did nothing wrong. Praying for their salvation. How is he able to do this? He's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He's motivated by love, not hate. He's quick to forgive those who are terminating his life. He's praying for their salvation. There's a seminarian student. He preferred to try to find a job in the ministry, but he couldn't. He's in seminary in Chicago. We found a job as a bus driver, city bus driver. One day, this group, this gang of boys came on the bus and they didn't pay. And this happened a few times. They refused to pay him. So the seminarian student, he's driving the bus, and he notices a cop on the corner. So he stops the bus, and he goes tells the police officer, "Hey, these guys won't pay." So the police officer comes on the bus and makes the boys pay. The police officer leaves. The boys and the seminarian are still on the bus. So guess what happened? They beat him severely. The seminarian then turned him in, told the cops, They rounded up this gang. They were on trial. And the seminarian then had compassion on these young men. And he told the judge, I will serve their sentence. And the gang, they were dumbfounded. The judge, dumbfounded. He couldn't grant his request. But it opened up a door. And he says, the reason I was able to do that is because I forgive them. Then he visited them in jail and led several of them to Jesus Christ. The power of compassion, love, and forgiveness. That's what we see with Stephen. And that's what God uses today. I don't care what someone has done to you, what they have said to you or someone you love, you can choose to forgive them. And that's exactly what forgiveness is. It is a choice. It's not a feeling. I don't feel like it. Well, man, that's human nature. Of course you don't feel like it, but you are called to forgive. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. It's not an option. It's not an option. We're commanded to forgive. Falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he fell asleep. Oh, what a great description of the death of a believer, going to sleep. Because for the believer, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It's our eternal rest in Christ. There's no more battle with sin. What a great description for the believer, going to sleep, resting in our Savior. The war is done. Sin is eradicated. Finally. And Saul approved of his execution. I just wonder how much of Stephen's testimony influenced Saul. We know that Saul comes to Christ and is called Paul. And I would like to believe that as he was witnessing Stephen's life and how he responded to this, I believe God was planting a seed in Saul's heart. We find then Acts 9, when the Lord Jesus appears to Paul, he's gloriously saved. I believe a seed was planted here. I like what Augustine said. If Stephen had not prayed, the church would not have had Paul. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I know what he's saying. But you think about your own life as we close. And as you are testifying for Christ, only God knows the type of influence that testimony will have to others who are listening. Others who you didn't even think was listening. They were maybe a bystander. Maybe it's a conversation you have with someone at the office or in your neighborhood, and someone at the next cubicle kind of was listening to that conversation. Your life has great value in Christ. It's short. That plug isn't very long compared to eternity. But as you are surrendered to Christ, You're living in this world. We are in the world, but we are called not to be of it. We are to have that perspective. Like Abraham looking for the eternal city, like Stephen gazing up into heaven. We got to do what we got to do on this earth. We have responsibilities. We're fathers, we're mothers, we're employers, we're employees, we're neighbors, and there's things that come with that. But we do it with the perspective of what I do and how I respond and the conversations that I have eternal, eternal value. Why? I'm so consumed with this. And eternity goes on forever and ever. All heads bowed. All eyes closed. If you're here this morning, there's never been a time that you've trusted in Christ. Today can be your day of salvation. All have sinned and fall short to the glory of God. Because we're all sinners, we all need a Savior. Stephen was a sinner. Paul, Peter, Apostle John, everyone is born with a sin nature. Therefore, we all need a Savior. That's why Jesus came. Jesus took upon human flesh, the eternal Son of God. He has no beginning. We have a beginning. But God's always existed, and He will always exist. But approximately 2,000 years ago, God the Son took upon human flesh. He became a man. And then that little baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, grew up. He lived a sinless life, and then He laid down His life. He became the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He died in your place. He died in your place. He took upon the wrath of the Father. He took upon your sin on the cross, and He died for you. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He is victorious over sin, over hell, over death. And if you're here this morning, and if you trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin, you put your faith in Him, today you will be victorious over sin, the grave, death, hell. Today can be your day of salvation. If you've never trusted in Christ, cry out to Him with a sincere heart. Father, believe that Jesus Christ died for my sin, that He rose again from the dead, and I ask Him to forgive me, to save me from my sin. Put your faith in Him today. If you're here today, you've accepted Christ. Maybe you've never been baptized. You'd like to take that step of obedience, baptized. Or maybe you're here and you need that special moment of grace that God gives during difficult times. You just want to depend upon Him this morning. Or maybe you're here and you know someone needs to hear the gospel this week, and you want to pray for their heart, that you would prepare their heart, that God would prepare you and give you the boldness to tell them that Jesus saves. Whatever the need is, just come. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, oh, for this wonderful story of Stephen. So many comparisons between Stephen and Christ. Thank You for the cross. We thank You for our salvation. Father, may we have the same type of compassion. compassion for others. May we be ready to forgive others, no matter what they've done to us. May we ultimately be praying for their salvation and witnessing to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand. Verse of invitation. Whatever the need is, just come.